This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're looking for absolutely nothing less than 5 stars for any reason. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life."
Mm-hmm. Jesus made a lot of statements like these, statements that begin with "I am." He didn't do it one time. He didn't do it 2 times. He didn't do it 3 times. He did 7 times.
Seven times.
I am statements. By the way, there's a great series by Dr. Abadan Shah on YouTube right now that goes through the I am statements. We might link to that in the description if I feel so inclined to do so. But, you know, these comments echo the words of God to Moses, you know, in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses asks, you know, "Who do I say sent me?" And God tells Moses, you know, "You tell the people I am who I am. I am has sent me to you." And so when Jesus says this, it implies the simplest expression of God's nature. He just is. He must be. And Jesus is equating himself to God.
And this wouldn't have been lost on Jesus's audience either. Sometimes we feel like the disciples or the Pharisees were just like, "Huh? What? I don't understand what you meant, Jesus." No, they absolutely would have picked up on this I am language.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the Pharisees had such a problem. They're like, "He's claiming to be God."
Right, right.
And the disciples were not confused about who Jesus was. They 100%. Knew that this meant that he was the one that they'd been waiting for, the Son of God.
That's exactly right. Every single verse that we bring you here on this show is brought to you by the Date the Word app. We're going to leave some information right there in the show notes so you can get to it. Ryan, my friend, I've got a question for you. Here comes the money.
That run was nice.
Thank you, buddy. All right, I'm going to give you $1 million, and I want you to pick a celebrity. Just pick any celebrity that pops into your mind.
Oh, let's say Kid Rock.
All right, Kid Rock. I'm oh, yeah, Kid Rock. $1 million.
Uh-huh.
Any this one's kind of funny to me. Any photo that you take for the rest of your life, if you take it, if you're in it, or just any photo that you take, Kid Rock is in the background. He's just there.
Like, just like photobombing in the background, like leaning over, waving.
He's sometimes, other times he's just there. He's just
like in the crowd.
Like if you take a restaurant of your wife at like dinner,
yeah,
he's at a table in the background just eating. He's not going to come up to you. He's not going to bother you. Sometimes he might photobomb, but
he's just in the background.
Yeah, he's not actually there in real life. Like, he doesn't follow you around. None of that stuff.
My initial inclination is yes. Does this include, like, professional portraits?
Yes.
So, like, family photos, yes, he's in the background.
Family photos, wedding photos. If you're in the photo, or if it's a photo you take. So, like, okay,
So fast forward, let's say Hartley's getting married.
Okay.
The photos of her and her husband.
Fine.
Not in there.
No.
Family pictures or photos of, like, the father of the bride.
He's in the background. Now, it's a crapshoot.
Way far off, just blurred, hide behind a tree.
Could be. Or he could be, like, right behind y'all cheesing. It's just a crapshoot. But if you're in the photo, or if it's a photo you take. So if you take pictures on Hartley's wedding, like just from the audience or whatever, yeah, Kid Rock's going to be in the background. He might be at the altar. I don't know. Shoot.
I'd probably take that.
Yeah?
I'd probably take it.
I think I would take it, too.
Yeah, I'd probably take it.
I mean, look, Kid Rock, he's not that.
It's
if
fine.
It was someone like Michael Moore or someone like, shoot, who's someone I really wouldn't want in my pictures? Beetlejuice. I think I would be like, nah, I wouldn't take it. But Kid Rock... He's pretty inoffensive.
He's in every third picture. You get to take pictures three times and he appears in the third one.
Yeah. No, I was talking. Well, yeah, sure. I was talking about different Beetlejuice, but I would take it. I would take it. Would you guys take it? Not taking Kid Rock in the background of all your pictures?
Yeah, I'd take
really?
It.
Really? For $1 million, Nick? You're taking it? You take it? Yeah, I figured you would take it. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's our answer. Let's ask Dr. Shaw.
Brandon didn't let us know if you would take that $1 million, but is it Kid Rock for everybody?
I'll say can pick the celebrity.
Oh, okay. All right, you pick your celebrity.
Kid Rock. Yeah, let's do Kid Rock for everybody.
Kid Rock for you. Write in and let us know $1 million, but would you take
that?
That's
the funniest celebrity you could have picked.
In the background of your photos. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian Talk Radio.
And listen, we know we're not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com, or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
Right you are, Ryan, and we are here once again in the we're here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD. Oh, I was going to... You messed
what was
me
that?
Up.
No, I messed you up.
Yeah, because you were doing a good job, and I was proud of you, but I was going to say we're here in the Clearview Today studio with drumroll, please...
That's softly.
Yeah, quiet. That's Dr. Abadan Shah.
Tiniest drum.
It's quiet because we're being quiet in the... we're being real quiet in the Clearview Today studio today. It's probably going to sound normal.
Probably, yeah.
You were doing good, and I was proud of you, so I was like, right, you are, right? I had no reason to, but it threw me off.
And right, you are.
I wish you hadn't done that.
Well,
Dr. Shah, $1 million. We're going to give you $1 million today on the Clearview Today show. Bob Barker, Ed McMahon style check and everything. But every single photo you take, Kid Rock is in the background.
No.
He's just there. He didn't even think about it.
No.
Not for $1 million.
Well, such a random thing.
Like, think about all the photos you took in England. Like Kid Rock,
what is he doing?
He's not like in your photo. He's just in the background somewhere.
Is he singing?
No. Sometimes he's just like looking at the wall. He's just like kind of there.
Okay, then I'm okay. If he's singing, then no.
No. Yeah.
He's just like milling about in the crowd.
Like
for
he's
some
not
reason.
Actually. It's just when you get when you take the photo, he's just in the background.
Yeah. But he's not like photo bombing.
Yeah, he's not there with you.
Yeah, okay. I'm fine with that. I'll take.
It could
the
be like a Where's Waldo sort of thing where
okay.
he's just there.
I'm fine with that. As long as he's not singing. I'm not ready for his music.
I don't blame you. No. I don't blame you one bit.
As we should not be.
Can you imagine going to England and Kid Rock is there? Just like, would you take that same tour with him there?
No. The places we went to were like beautiful cathedrals. Uh-huh. Beautiful stained glass windows,
right, of course.
Historical places.
Mm. Places of reverence.
Reverence and history and meaning, and then Kid Rock.
Yeah. It just does not.
He's not like, fit. No. Sir, see yourself out, please. I have to be in the background of his picture.
Sir, this is Westminster Abbey. You need to put your shirt on and leave.
Sweet. Oh, Alabama. Oh, gosh.
We're talking today. We're continuing our discussion about your recent trip to England, Dr. Shaw, you and Nicole.
Yes.
We've talked about so many things. I feel like just it's difficult to kind of keep pace with everywhere that you've been. The British Museum and Stratford-upon-Avon, seeing all of Shakespeare's life and his home and Anne Hathaway's home. I mean, just life-changing, just transformative.
Yes, yes. And this was a trip I've been dreaming on this trip for a long time because from England, we get a lot of our history, we get literature. The greatest gift that the British or the English have given to the world is literature. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
That's true.
Literature.
Yeah.
Yes, bits and pieces of Christianity, but literature would be the biggest one.
Yeah.
So going there was a big deal for me because I could now go to the places that I've been reading about for 40 plus years. Wow. I would say 50 years almost. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm there. So it was exciting for me. At the same time, you know, the reason we're walking through this is not just to go over my itinerary in England, but also to learn from this trip why, should I say it, America is better. But I mean, why, you know, great things, love the history, but at the same time, you know, I prefer here.
True. Yeah. True. Sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it takes going somewhere else to make you realize those things that you either take for granted or you just don't realize that other nations don't have.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the
right.
freedoms that they don't have or the culture that they don't have that you enjoy at home.
That's
like
right.
for me, we say this on the show all the time, but like I was born here. I was born in America. I was born in the same town that I'm in right now. And so for me, it's like this is just what normal life is like. Mm. But, you know, for you growing up and for a lot of people growing up, that's not what it was like. And so what I take as normal is actually an enormous privilege.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so now we come to day three.
Mm-hmm.
Day two, we arrived in Oxford. Not Oxford, North Carolina, in Granville County, but this is Oxford.
A bunch of people listening on the radio just perked up.
Yeah, in England.
Yeah.
And this is where Oxford University is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big deal for me because all my life I heard Oxford and Cambridge, Oxford and Cambridge, and then to be there.
Wow.
But we were staying outside of Oxford, like central Oxford, I would say. You know, that's where the universities are. That's where the colleges are. That's where the university is. So we were a little bit on the outskirts, like maybe a 10-minute or 5-minute bus ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. 5-minute bus ride and you're inside Oxford central area.
Right.
And we stayed at a bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. And loved it. That was like a couple hundred year old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know
like
that.
300 year old building and a house that was turned into a bed and breakfast. So that in itself was very special.
Comfortable?
Yes, I would say. First night wasn't.
Oh.
First night we got put into a room that was probably 3/4 of this room.
Really small.
Yeah.
This is already kind of it's a pretty big room, but with all the equipment.
That's pretty tiny.
But I wouldn't want to like sleep in this room.
No.
And we had 6 suitcases.
Wow.
Nah, man, somebody goofed up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 check-ins, like two for Nicole, two for me, 4 check-ins, and then 2 checked suitcases, as well as our backpacks.
Yeah, no, that's too. It's too small, man.
Too small.
Too small.
And we tried to put it in there and we put it inside the closet. It was tough. But the guy was real nice. He said, look, tomorrow morning, so-and-so guest is checking out. You're going to get that room please just hang in there.
There you go.
And I was like, okay, sounds
good.
Good
customer service, man.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he was very nice.
And I didn't think the British were really known for that.
No, this guy, he was British. He was not English.
Oh, there's a difference.
Got you.
And I think he was Italian, if I'm not wrong.
Okay.
Like Italian, British guy.
Nice.
So anyways, we next morning got up, had breakfast there. Nice breakfast, actually. Mm-hmm. You can see the picture right there for those who are watching online.
That's beautiful.
Breakfast is there.
There you go.
And then he gave us information. And then from there, we went off to Yarnton Manor. Mm-hmm. Yarnton Manor is a little bit further out from where we were living. Mm-hmm. Living? Why am I saying living?
From staying.
staying, not living. Because I'm thinking bed and breakfast.
Right.
I think about bed means living there.
Yeah.
But we were driving now. Mm-hmm. So I drove to Yarnton Manor and began to drive in. Mm-hmm. And that's where my professor was. So mm-hmm. we want to meet up with them and spend some time together. And I felt like I was pulling up, if you have watched Pride and Prejudice, this mm-hmm. was Pemberley.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, right there. That's the picture right there.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Looks like, what's that show Nicole loves?
Well, she likes Pride and Prejudice.
You're thinking about Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey, yeah. No, that's not. And she actually was
she
able to go to that.
She went to Highclere Castle.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Yarnton Manor, which is, like I said, outside of Oxford. And is bought by an American who is a Christian, and he's converting this into a conference center, a venue for meetings and papers and academia, as well as there's going to be a library next to it. And he's already building that library up.
Awesome.
So he's taking an old historic building, because this right here was somehow connected to the Windsor people, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. So he's taking an existing building and converting that into this venue, but maintaining its historic look.
Wow. Mm. And so, it's for Christian academics.
Yes.
Wow. Nice.
Yes. Christian academics. So you can see inside, this is what it looks like inside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Bro, you'll probably be there a lot then.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, just Nicole was like, I'm in love with this place.
I can imagine.
It looks like a dream. It looks like a fairy tale.
Yeah. So, look at the windows.
Yeah.
Wow.
Aren't they nice?
Incredible.
And so there's yours truly.
Yep.
Sitting here with Nicole.
And dude, I love it. I want to take the camera over there and start filming some stuff.
Well, that'd be great.
Beautiful.
I could get some permits over there.
Yeah, let's do it. If the guy's doing that for Christian academics,
we could work some things out.
No problem.
We could work some things out. That's me over there pretending to read. So, it was great to see somebody turning this venue into a Christian, this old historic home, mm-hmm. or kind of really a manor, into a Christian venue.
Would you say that's not the norm in Europe? Wanting to preserve, not even preserve, but wanting to set something aside for the purpose of bolstering Christianity.
It's rare. Mm-hmm. Plus, this guy is not even.
Oh, that's true. He's American.
He's American.
Mm. Mm. That's right. I forgot about that.
And he has something very similar in Texas now here. So he's really kind of, helping promote academia among evangelicals.
Did you go to this place, to Yarnton Manor, with Dr. Robinson?
No. Well, we went, but separately.
Okay.
So he came with his wife a day later. We came Monday morning. He came Tuesday morning.
Okay. Mm.
And then we met up on Wednesday morning.
At the conference?
No, the day before the conference.
Okay.
And we decided to go looking around. The place we wanted to see, by the way, check out this church. This church was right next to Yarnton Manor.
Wow.
Okay, so this is Yarnton Manor, and this is the church. This is Yarnton Manor.
Uh-huh.
Right? This is the church right next to it. This church is like 400 some years old. So I feel bad for our listeners because they cannot
see. Imagine in your mind's eye.
That's why we tell y'all, man, there's a video podcast. Y'all got to watch that too.
Yes. Check out. This is inside that church.
Looks like Statler and Waldorf up top. I like that.
Check this out. Look at this.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I was looking at the top. I was looking at the decorations up top in the plaque. There's like people in the fireplace. Yeah. Is it a fireplace?
No. It's a grave.
Oh, I thought they were like burning the people in the fireplace. No. I thought it was like a fire.
No, this is look at the date on that.
1608. Wow.
So I was amazed.
That's kind of
this
funny.
Right here is, like, as you can see, Dr. Robinson and Nicole.
What's up with his glasses? So, okay, I got to ask you this. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show. Traveling with Dr. Robinson. That's an event. That could be an episode.
I feel like that needs to be a series.
Yeah.
It's a series.
Traveling with Dr. Robinson.
Was he on point this one, or is it like, no, this was also like traveling with Dr. Robinson?
And this was close enough, but his wife was there.
Oh, so she was keeping him in line.
Yeah, she was keeping him in line.
Got you. So, how much McDonald's did you eat?
We did not eat any McDonald's.
Dr. Robinson, man, I gotta give you some respect. Yeah,
not this time.
Yeah.
His wife
was there, so probably no McDonald's.
Yeah. Shout out to, can I call him Doc Robinson?
You can.
I'm not going to, out of respect. But proud of you, though.
I thought you were going to say, here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
There you go.
So what he really wanted me to do was go see the grave site of John Bergen.
Mm.
John Bergen was a dean over at Oxford University, and he was a defender of the Byzantine text. Now, as you know, I like the Byzantine text.
Right.
I lean in that direction. And so he said, you want to see John Bergen's grave? I was like, absolutely. Where do you find it? So he's like, let's drive into Oxford. And I'm like, but I've been told don't drive into Oxford because there's no place to park.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, we can find, there's parking places near the graveyard. I'm like, okay. Mm. I was like, but I've heard that don't park. They said, no, we can find it.
At that point, did you believe him or were you like, I'm just going to go along with this?
No, I'm going to go along with this. I think it's going to be not good. But here's the thing. It turned out to be okay this time.
Yeah.
All right. So we went to what's known as Hollywell Cemetery. This is it right here. This is a sign right there, Hollywell Cemetery. And this is an old cemetery, as you can see, with graves. In the Doomsday Book of 1086, the land was listed as meadow.
Wow.
Goodness, 1086. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Bro.
This land was there. Keep in mind, Oxford University was founded very early.
Yeah.
It's a 1,000-year-old university.
Yeah.
So this part was there. It was just a meadow. And then it became a graveyard. Check this out. Not sure what this X-Men grave is.
Yeah, that's where Wolverine's going to get crucified.
Charles Xavier.
And then I said, oh, okay, let's go find John Bergen. Sure enough, we found him. And guess what he did? He sat on top of his grave.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
He said, last time we were here, I rode the grave like a hobby horse.
What?
So he sat like straddled on top of it. I said, really?
Dr. Robinson. Look at David's face. Cut to David. he's appalled.
Huh?
So this guy was a huge, John Bergen, huge, huge proponent of the Byzantine text. Like for a text critic, like this guy is extremely
big
important.
Deal. Yeah, he fought against the revised version. He fought against Westcott and Horde and all that stuff. Now his methods, I don't agree with, because he was sort of quite... He had a way of saying things that were very caustic at times.
Caustic? What does that mean?
Like really sharp and dagger.
Oh, he was like, got a sharp tongue.
Yeah. Sharp tongue, sharp pen.
Wow.
But his points were very accurate.
Uh-huh.
And his research was quite amazing.
And Dr. Robinson straddled his grave. He didn't show respect.
No, what he was saying was, I'm sitting on top of John Bergen's grave. In a sense, I am gaining on his knowledge by osmosis.
Like, I see. I thought it was like symbolic. I'm building my work on his, but he's like, no, I'm just going to be silly at this dude's grave. And just,
wahoo.
I guess if you're Maurice Robinson, you kind of get to
you
do
get
that.
To do
I guess
that.
You get a free
that.
Pass
you
to get, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But you didn't feel the need to sit on his grave.
I didn't sit on the grave, but I stood in front of the grave and I spoke in front of the grave.
Yeah.
And I did some filming and recording about John Bergen.
That's really awesome.
And the thing is, What many people don't realize is we think we have technology, we have computers, we have so much today.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know more than these people. No, these people knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like John Bergen knew his discipline.
Yeah.
For one, he was a single guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a single man and he was very hardworking. So he poured his life into those manuscripts. I mean, I have pretty much all of his books.
Great point.
And he was tremendous scholar. Tremendous. You can disagree with him.
Uh-huh.
People can disagree with him all they want to, but to say that he was not a scholar, I'm sorry, you don't know what you're talking about.
That's a great point, and I don't know how common that is today, where someone devotes their entire life only to their discipline. Because you know what I mean? We've got so much entertainment. Mm-hmm. And we've got so much, so many options available for us for how to spend our time. We've got phones. We've got movies. We've got TV. We've got friends. We've got entertainment all out the wazoo. And I don't know how common it is for people, let alone scholars, but just people in general, to just devote their life to this one thing and become so good at it.
Yeah. John Bergen was like that.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Just a brilliant guy. So it was great that I got to see that grave. Mm-hmm. But then in the list of famous people in the graveyard, there were two other names that caught my attention. And one I knew because Robinson had told me it's there, was this one right here. Charles Williams. Mm-hmm. Charles Williams was one of the Inklings.
Oh, with Tolkien and C.S. Lewis.
That's right.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Poet. So I said, oh, he's here? He said, yes. I said, I'm going to find it. Unfortunately, Dr. Robinson took me to the other side of the graveyard. Uh-huh. He said, I know it's here. And there is a Charles Williams there. Uh-huh. Wrong one.
So
I found the right one.
So that's the right one.
Because the pamphlet that you find hanging outside by the gate of that cemetery, uh-huh, it has the marking of Charles Williams. He's like, no, that's not the one. It's back here. And sure enough, there was a Charles Williams.
Yeah.
But some other Charles Williams.
I said, Dr. Robinson, gotcha. I think from this map, this is the real one. And he came, this like, oh, yes, that's the poet. And that's his, yep, that's the one. I don't know who I went to last time. Last time was like 20 years ago.
So is this the right one in the picture here?
The one I'm with is the right one.
Yeah. Mm.
So as I'm here, I'm like, wait, let's look at who else is in this graveyard.
Yeah.
So sure enough, we looked and I found Paul Moss.
Okay.
Paul Moss was a text critic. I don't agree with this philosophy of text criticism. It's like based on stemmatics. Mm-hmm. Stemmatics is like if we can line up these manuscripts, we can find descent and all. It's not a very good science. Mm-hmm. But he was a very good text critic. Mm-hmm. And he was Jewish. Didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah. And guess what? Right there he is.
That's him.
There's his Paul Moss. So I took a picture with him and also filmed a quick video.
Wow. Wow.
So what makes him a good text critic? I know we don't have a ton of time, but what makes him a good text critic, even if their philosophy or methodology is wrong?
They need to know their stuff.
Okay.
They need to know about manuscripts. They need to know about the history of the text.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
They need to understand the difficulties, mm-hmm, behind retrieving the original text. They need to be familiar with the various methodologies. Mm-hmm. They need to be familiar with the manuscripts, not every manuscript. It's impossible. 5,000 plus Greek manuscripts and 10,000 some Latin. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah.
But at least be familiar with those things. They need to be familiar with the variant readings that are important. Mm-hmm. Not just the Pericope Adulterae or the ending of Mark or the Comma Johannium. You know, those are easy ones. We know those are the big ones. But they need to know others.
True.
Right? Mm-hmm. Other variant readings. Like the Lord's Prayer, or other variant readings like Mark 1:1, mm-hmm, or Ephesians 5:30, you know, the
right
flesh and bones, mm-hmm, passage that, mm-hmm, I've written on. Mm-hmm. They need to be aware of these kind of things. And even I mean, still in the learning and growing.
Right.
But when a person doesn't know those things, then they cannot truly call themselves
a text critic.
Yeah. Mm.
Even if they get the, I guess that's true, because you can tell me the correct methodology and I can, mm-hmm, go out there and repeat it and parody, yeah, it. But that doesn't make me a text critic just because, no, right, I'm correct.
Yeah.
Right.
I got you.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
So then we went out to eat, ate at Subway. Not McDonald's. We ate
proud
at Subway.
Proud of you, Dr. Robinson. I'm going to give you another applause.
Yeah. One more
applause.
There.
We got the
McDonald's for you.
This is the gas station that we went to.
Nice.
And then
curry in a hurry.
Great curry. I didn't get the curry there, but I did get Subway.
It probably wouldn't taste good.
Yeah. I went back to Dr. Robinson's home, ate there and relaxed. And then Nicole and I went back. We're like, okay, let's go back. Let's park at the same place we parked. We found a parking spot. Mm-hmm. And you could put in, money in the meter over here, like a computerized thing. Put the tag number in. You're good to go.
Yeah.
And then we came back. The second time we went to the same place, I was like, great, I found a parking place where I can do this. My number is already in the thing, and you cannot do that.
Oh,
so I
really?
Got a ticket. Why?
Oh,
why?
No.
For trying to park at the same place you already parked at?
Yeah. And getting permit and paying, but didn't realize you can only get it for an hour now. First time was 2 hours. Second time is only an hour.
Oh, I see. I see. So you stayed more than an hour the second time?
Second time, yeah.
I got you.
First time, actually, we stayed less than an hour.
Bro, yeah. They always got to get you on some stinkers.
But I paid for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Second time, I stayed for 2 hours, but we paid for only one hour.
Can you just like flip flop them? Like we paid for that here.
I wanted to.
I'm glad that you live in America where you can pretty much buy anything you
land
want.
Land free in the home of the parking.
Yeah, you can buy any favors you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. England is like, oh, we don't want your money. We want you to follow our rules.
That's right. This is tradition for thousands of years.
And you're like, and you will follow or else.
So anyways, so then we, but I parked there and I tried to get it more than an hour. Couldn't do it. That was a big contention with Nicole. And I was like, I don't know. Do it. And she's like, I can't. It's not moving. I'm like, why is it giving only an hour? We got 2 hours last time. Why don't you get four? I don't know. I can't. Long story short, we're like, you know what? They're going to have to just give us a ticket. I said, I hope they don't tow us away. Now, I don't think they will. They didn't tow us away, but sure enough, there was a ticket.
They were just sitting there waiting on it, too. They'd be just watching the clock, just waiting.
But when we come back, I want to go further, talk about Oxford.
Bro, let's do
it.
Yes. Oxford University.
So exciting. Hopefully no tickets in Oxford.
No tickets.
No ticket to Oxford.
Very nice.
If you enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.